You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
So, Resurrection Sunday, obviously that is our theme today. Resurrection Sunday remembers and signifies, as we have heard already, the most important day in the history of the world. Resurrection Sunday is the turning point of history itself. And we ask the question, well, why is that so? Well, the moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, this we understand, the Bible teaches us, the moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead is the guarantee that sin has been paid in full. One way to look at it is this. If the cross, Good Friday, when Jesus died on the cross represents the payment, then on Easter Sunday, the empty tomb represents the receipt for the payment that was made. Again, the moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, we also understand this, that death has been eternally defeated. That is a massive statement of hope and power and glory. We also know this, as we've heard, the moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, then Satan's doom is sealed. So again, the moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead is the moment the world would never be the same again. And in many ways, we are proof of that today. I mean, here we are 2,000 years later in a continent that was not even known of by the people again in the events of that first Easter Sunday, a nation that was only formed, 150 plus years ago, whatever. And here we are gathering to celebrate the reality of the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, who died 2,000 years ago but was raised from the dead. Not to mention 2.5 billion others across this planet who would testify to the same thing. And that number is projected to be 3 billion by the year 2050. Truly, from that first Easter Sunday, everything changed. So what we want to do now, though, is like, well, what happened on that first Easter Sunday? What happened that made the world change forever? What made it the greatest day in history? Or we can ask this, why would the world be changed forever? So we're going to learn that right now in the Bible from a passage in Matthew chapter 28. So if you have a Bible, I'd love for you to turn there. I'm going to read our text for us. If you don't have a Bible, there might be one in front of you again in the chair. We like to put, again, Bibles there for our guests, if you want to turn there. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. It is the last chapter, chapter 28. If you don't have one, as we go through, not quite yet, but as we go through, the verses will also be on the screen for you as well. Let me say this so we're clear. Again, if you're visiting with us, so glad you're here. I have no message apart from this book. All we do is we read the Bible, God wrote it, and we go verse by verse, and God changes lives. It's a pretty awesome formula. We're excited about it. You don't want to hear from me, you want to hear from God. Matthew 28, verse 1 says this. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Wow. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified." He says this, verse 6, "He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him." The angel says, "See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, I bet. And they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." It's amazing. "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, verse 10, Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Okay, so what happened on that first Resurrection Sunday, that first Easter Sunday? Three main things we observe from our text today. Number one, this happened on that first Easter Sunday is this. Doubt and despair were devastatingly shaken. On that first Easter Sunday morning, doubt and despair were devastatingly shaken or rocked. Again, verse 1 on the screen for you, if that's helpful for you. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day, obviously Sunday of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. So Matthew's gospel here is telling us Mary Magdalene, the other Mary. Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel, again, they also contribute to the story, said one other woman was with them. Her name was Salome. So they are approaching the tomb again that first early Sunday morning. Now, by the way, if just as a side note, if you're going to fabricate a story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the first century, the last thing you would want to do is to say that women were the first witnesses to this incredible miracle that changed the world forever. Because women were not allowed to be witnesses of anything in the first century, let alone this. So if you wanted to make up a story, you would never write it in this way. So because the story is not made up, because it's historically, again, what changed the world forever, of course, this is exactly how it happened, and God chose women to be the first people there to witness this amazing, amazing moment and amazing day. Now, as we read scripture, as we go through the Bible, especially narratives, we want to enter into the text. We want to enter into the story. We say this a lot around Hope Oakville here. We say, live in the text, live in the text. Why? We want to enter into and kind of put ourselves in the sandals of these women here that we might grasp in a greater way the significance of what is happening. So let's do that a little bit. So you have these women, again, early on that first Sunday morning, they are approaching the tomb with tremendous love. They loved Jesus Christ. However, they are not approaching with faith. They're not going to the tomb believing he is risen. They're approaching the tomb. They saw Jesus be horrifically crucified before their very eyes. So they're going to the tomb, and I don't know how they're expecting to roll away this massive stone. They have some spices they're hoping to anoint his body with. But let's be clear, they are approaching and they're expecting a dead, lifeless body that is actually beginning to show the signs of decay. But there they were in this early, cold, dark air of that first Sunday morning of Easter. And they were there, why? Because they loved Jesus so much. They loved Jesus so much, as we said. And that makes sense. They had ministered with Jesus. They had walked with Jesus. They had been taught by Jesus. Their lives had been transformed by Jesus. They have never known a man like him ever. They saw his miracles. They heard his wisdom. They observed his sinlessness. They followed him. They watched him. And I mean, he was everything to them. He was saying he was the Son of God, Messiah, the Chosen One. He was the Savior of the world. And they believed it. They believed it. And they were watching him live. And then unspeakably on Good Friday, they actually watched him die, nails in his hands and feet, and they watched him in agony there. And as he said these words again to the Father, and then a sword was pierced through his side, and as the blood and water poured out, and then he hung there lifeless, and his body was taken down, and he was placed in a tomb. They had watched all of this happen. So just imagine the despair and the sorrow that they would have felt. Imagine the expectations they had in Jesus, though, right? For all the reasons that we just mentioned. He was the chosen one, Messiah, the one that they were believing in. They were expecting, this is it. Here's the Savior. He's the one going to redeem us and save us from all the oppression around us. Imagine having these expectations that high. And then all of a sudden, these expectations are absolutely shattered at his death. They don't have answers. They're just sitting there and wallowing again in their despair. We understand that. I think by contrast, you think of us in the story or maybe us in our lives, I think of how shattered our expectations come when vacation plans don't work out the way we want, right? Now, we don't handle that so well. Think of the expectations are shattered when an Easter dinner is overcooked. Think of the expectations that are shattered as we don't find our parking lot at church or our parking spot at church and somehow we're filled with misery. But here we have these women. They like legitimately had these massive expectations of the Christ and the Chosen One, and now he's dead. Or so they thought. I'd love to try to enter into the text. It makes the Bible come alive to me. Did they say a word as they walked together? Did they even lift their heads? Were their eyes filled with tears as they were recounting the last couple of days? How deep was their sadness and their despair and their sorrow? I wonder, we don't hear anything about Friday night, Saturday in Scripture. Did they sleep a minute Friday or Saturday? Were they even able to get a minute of sleep? Or they just kind of, again, recalled all the gruesome details and the sorrow and the sadness and the depths of despair? But this is what I love about our God so much. So often when we are at our worst, God is at his best. So often in life, when you seek Jesus Christ, so often when we think it's over, God is just getting started. It's how he works. for a day that would turn out so incredibly glorious, though, and just unbelievable, life-changing news. It began with such serious doubt and despair. But I want you to understand right here now, too, again, you're here with us today, so glad that you are. The heart of the gospel, what's the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel that Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead. I don't want to give it all away just yet. We'll certainly get there. But so often, as God works in our lives, listen, those who find themselves in the greatest despair are often on the verge of greatest delight. That's what's happening here. Consider these women here, right? Their grief in a few moments would turn into overwhelming gratitude. Their misery would turn into marvel in the Lord. Their massive hurt would turn into eternal hope. Their gloom would turn into the glory of God. Their pain, their anguish would turn into praise. And this is why one of the main principles, again, of people truly searching out the Lord and Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, God so often works among the broken. He doesn't work among the proud because the proud don't need God. The proud say, I don't need God, I am God. But the broken are so often positioned to believe. Because the broken understand, I need someone beyond myself. I cannot save myself. I cannot do this thing called life. This is why Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. Meaning, those who understand they are spiritually in need, who have sins that need to be forgiven beyond themselves, those are so often the very people that God works in. So it's the broken that becomes so beautiful. Because it's the broken that humble themselves. As scripture says over and over again so many ways, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the Easter story is littered again with this truth. This takes us to verse 2 now. Look at verse 2 on the screen for you again if it's helpful. It says here, and behold, Matthew loves to say behold. Behold, look, take notice, pay attention. Behold, there was a great earthquake, wow. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, wow. And came back and rolled back the stone and sat on it, wow. So I imagine the angel sitting on the stone like, yeah, stone, is that all you got? Is that all you got? You think you're going to keep Jesus in the tomb? I think he's like, in your face, stone. That's what I think he's saying right there. And just kind of mocking it because the reality, this has no power compared to the power of God. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning, wow, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. What a moment this is. Hey, we're living in the text. In a split second now, the doubt and despair are devastatingly shaken. And it's replaced with a holy fear, and rightly so, right? Like you're walking somberly in the dark, and then an earthquake, wow, and then an angel, and then appearance like lightning, and then clothing as white as snow. I mean, that's something else. And then you have the mighty Roman guards. The mighty Roman guards that are so tough and so strong, and they become like human popsicles in an instant. And they are frozen with fear and unable to do anything. Maybe they're unconscious. They're standing there absolutely frozen, which, by the way, just another side note, this is a small but wonderful indication when it comes to the power of humanity versus the power of God, man. It's not even a contest. It's not even a contest. When it comes to the power of God, you have these mighty Roman guards, again, so tough, so arrogant, man, so filled with kind of a worldly sense of power, and then in an instant, they're brought to nothing. There's nothing they can do. Let's guard the tomb. Yeah, good luck with that one, okay? And there they are, unable to do a single thing, because when the power of God shows up, it obliterates the power of man. All through scripture, this is what happened when Christ came, when Christ was raised, and this is what's going to happen when Christ returns as well. The earthquake here is a signal of Christ's victory. I love that the earth shook when Jesus died, and I love now the earth leaps for joy as Jesus Christ is raised. The angel here, a representation of God's glory, shining like lightning, depicting the glory of the risen Lord is what is happening there. Clothing as white as snow. This signifies God's holiness and power and supremacy. The text tells us the angel literally just descended from heaven. I think if you just descended from heaven, you'd be shining too. Right? This is amazing again within our text. It's also fascinating to me that when Christ dies, the sun goes dark. But when Jesus Christ is raised, man, the glory begins to shine. What a moment this is. What a moment this is. Doubt and despair are devastatingly shaken on that resurrection Sunday. What a moment, listen, and also what a word for us. What a word for us right now. It's no coincidence that as our society, Canada, our culture, again, our society, as our society has increasingly rejected Jesus Christ, it's no surprise to me that despair and depression are at all-time highs. A Gallup poll from just about a year ago indicating statistics proving that depression, despair, suicide thoughts, rates are at all-time highs. Isn't that so interesting, though, that you have depression and despair, all-time highs within our society? At the very same time, our society has never experienced more luxury. No generation in the history of the world has ever had so widespread luxury. No generation has ever had so much technology. No generation has ever had more medical advancement. No generation has ever been exposed to so much leisure and comfort. No generation has ever experienced the history of the world on a widespread level so much progress. And yet our world, all the experts, they can't explain why in that reality there's so much profound discontent, depression, drug abuse, addiction, loneliness, and despair, which is solely explicitly among the most liberal advanced societies on this earth. Doesn't make any sense to them. Shouldn't be, but it is. The better we get, the worse we get is what is happening. And yet person after person after person who genuinely encounters and believes in the resurrected Christ, their doubt and despair are devastatingly shaken. And they meet Jesus Christ truly in relationship, and they encounter a joy and a hope and a faith and a glory they never thought possible. I pray with so many people even this week, and person after person after person in their prayers, testifying to the reality. They were lost, they were blind, they were overcome with sin, they were broken, they were miserable, and they met Jesus Christ, and they've never been the same again. Listen, listen, listen. Their life isn't easier now. Their life is just infinitely better. Let me say it again. Their life is not easier now, man. There's difficulty, there's trials, there's pain when it comes to following Christ, but the hope and the joy that overcomes that is so, so awesome. This is why Augustine said this. Who's this for right now? Augustine said this: our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee, in God. Who's that for right now? Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in God. That's my story. That could be your story today too. So what happened that first Easter Sunday morning? Doubt and despair were devastatingly shaken. And then secondly, we see this. Faith and hope now are supernaturally resurrected. Faith and hope are supernaturally resurrected. I want you to look at verse 5 now. Verse 5 says, "But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay, then go quickly tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead.'" Awesome. "And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." Okay, notice from this section of scripture here, notice first of all, the angel says to the women, "Do not be afraid." Okay, I believe that's in the category of easy for you to say, bro, right? Don't you agree? I mean, that's like they're showing up, they're filled with despair and sorrow, and then like shining like lightning, earthquakes, and clothing white. I'd be a little bit freaked out, I think, as well. Secondly, the angel says, there's no denying that Jesus Christ was crucified. He says it right here. There's no denying that Jesus Christ was, past tense, dead. But that was then, and this is now. And now the angel gives the greatest news the world has ever received. He says, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said." Love that. He is not here, he is risen as he said. Now, should the women and the disciples be ultimately shocked of this news? Well, the answer is in one level, no. They shouldn't be shocked. Why? Because Jesus predicted multiple times in the Gospels, "I will die, and on the third day, I will be raised." But they didn't get it. They didn't understand. Like, what's he talking about? They didn't know. And so in that sense, again, they should have known, but this news came to them. They were shocked, but the truth, again, starts to sink in for the very first time. So one of the things I literally hope I get to do again in glory, know where I'm going. My faith in Jesus Christ, 100% certain that one day I'll be in glory. What I hope to do in glory, and I want to do this, is find the women. Mary Magdalene, Mary Salome. I want to say, hey, just can you tell me the story again? We met the angel on Easter Sunday. Like, I want to hear again. Can you just, like, what were your emotions feeling in that moment when you're walking along, you're totally in despair, and then an angel shined like lightning, and this news, he's not here, he has risen. Like, how fast were your hearts beating? What was the physical, spiritual adrenaline going through your body in that moment? Tell me about the racing thoughts of the synapses of your brain. What was that like? I want to hear it again. I want to hear it again. What happened to you, ladies, when the truth first met you? The truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That day's going to happen. I'm pretty excited about that. It's going to be really, really good. It's going to be really good. Now listen, listen. When they encounter the truth, it's the truth, Jesus says, that sets them free. Some of you are here right now, and you're encountering the truth for the first time ever. And if you believe in the truth, it's the truth of Jesus Christ that sets you free. It's faith in the beauty and the love and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, that you see him for who he truly is, and you receive life eternal, and you believe that he did die for your sins, and he did raised from the dead, and you believe in him and love him, and the Bible says then you will never die again. It's the truth that sets you free. Again, the angel says he is not here. Why? He has risen. Why? Because, as he said. So here in this text here, it's faith, listen, that was wilted and seemingly dead, that is now before our eyes in full burst of glorious bloom. It was hope that was shrouded or clouded in despair, but hope now among these women is being supernaturally resurrected. I love the angel in verse 7. He says, see, I have told you. I told you this would happen. See, I've told you. Now go. He's basically saying this. He's like, ladies, take courage. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, and no one will ever be able to stop Jesus Christ. Again, we're proof of that today. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You cannot stop the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we go through this right now, many of you here today, the truth of the resurrection is new to you. So glad you're here. The truth you're hearing right now is new to you. For some of you here right now, this is not new. You know this. This is familiar. But again, for some of you, this is the first time you've heard it in this way. And maybe right now you're saying to yourself and saying to me, like, Robbie, okay, I'm tracking and I get a lot of what you're saying, but I still have a couple of things I want to double click on right now. Like help me understand, okay, so the resurrection changed the world. Why again? Why exactly? Can you go over that? Or maybe you're here right now and you're like, help me to understand why the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed the world forever. Now, if that's where you are right now, the conversation you and I are about to have over the Word of God, let me say this. If you haven't heard this before, this is the most important conversation you've ever had in your entire life. I can say that without a shadow of a doubt, because if you don't know this truth, this is the most important truth you will ever hear again in your life thus far, because it's the truth that leads someone to go from being blind to having sight, from being dead to being alive, from being lost to being found. This is the truth that leads someone again from tremendous fear of death to no fear of death at all, because you know you belong to Jesus Christ, and though you die, it shall you live. Listen, the conversation, brother, sister, we're about to have right now is the most important conversation you've ever had in your entire life. I absolutely believe that. So what is the conversation we need to have when it comes to the reality of the resurrection? Well, there are certain implications of the resurrection. And on the screen for you, I want you to see a few of them. Number one, the implications of the resurrection means that God is true to his promises. You need to know that when Jesus is raised from the dead, that means that God is true to his promises. See, well, what do you mean by that? Well, ever since sin entered into the world, where Adam and Eve sinned and they were then banished, sin cannot coexist with holiness of God. If God is true to his character, sin is expelled from his presence. And so Adam and Eve are banished from the garden. But listen, ever since that happened, God immediately put his rescue plan for humanity into action. But the problem is that you and I can't save ourselves, because we are that. We are sinful. So we needed a perfect sacrifice to be sent on our behalf. That's why Jesus came at Christmas. That's why he was sent, in the love of God. And because God made a promise that he would send the solution of our salvation to restore us back to God himself. That's why, again, Easter happened. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, because it was God's promise in love to save humanity for those who believe precisely in his time. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's promise to save us, to come for us, and to love us. The second implication of the resurrection is this. It means that God holds power over death. This is tremendous news for us. Tremendous news. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees that death has been defeated. See, the moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, Jesus stands over death and says, death, 1 Corinthians, where is your sting?
Death, where is your victory? You've got nothing on me. You have been defeated forever. So this just in, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you are with Jesus Christ, then death has no sting or victory over you either. Then you're with Jesus, then you also have defeated death forever. That's why, as we heard today, Jesus says, you believe in me, I'm the resurrection of life. You believe me, though you die, yet shall you live. This is the power and the reality, again, of Easter. 1 Peter chapter 1 on the screen for you. Just another beautiful verse. And I pray the Holy Spirit will teach you in this moment. Notice at the center, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, God can cause us to be born again. Born again is a term that gets thrown around a lot in different ways. Biblically, what it means is all of us are born once physically. To go to heaven, we must be reborn spiritually. Our souls must be born again. And because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we have the opportunity to be made again, new, to be reborn. And if we are reborn, the text says up there, then we now have a living hope. Man, I love that phrase so much. There's a beautiful worship song called Living Hope. We love it. We love it. It's a great name for a church, by the way, too. Hope Bible Church. That's what this is about. We are walking around with a hope that is alive within us. So no matter what happens, life is hard. Life is filled with pain. Life is filled with disappointments. Life is filled with suffering. Jesus Christ promises that as well. But in Jesus Christ, we are literally living with a hope that is alive within us. No matter what happens, this hope will never be taken from us. Those who belong to Jesus Christ, this is your reality. Furthermore, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have an inheritance. We have the same inheritance Christ has, we have, the Bible teaches us, which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. That's so exciting. You have an inheritance waiting for you if you truly belong and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this is possible because of his resurrection from the dead. No resurrection, no hope, no chance, no life. All of this was made possible on that first Easter Sunday. Thirdly, the resurrection proves the mind-blowing love of God. What is this all rooted in? What is Good Friday and Easter rooted in? It's rooted in God's love for you. Now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he says, it is finished, what is that all about? It's the astounding love of God to send his son to die in your place and mine. Unbelievable love. Unbelievable love. And when Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, what is that? That is the also mind-blowing, astounding love of God. Listen, that is now inviting you to everlasting life. Like, that's what's happening right now. But by the way, right now, in this moment, the love of God chases you down. You can run, but you can't hide. Okay? The love of God is chasing you down and inviting you to everlasting life. That's what this is about today. John 3:16 on the screen for you. Many of you will know this verse. For God so loved, he so loved the world. That's why he sent his son. He loves you so much, he sent his son to die for you. You're like, how's that fair? I know it's not. But it's what his love did. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever, listen, believes. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I got to stop here for a second. I have so many gospel conversations in different times. I still talk to so many people. This is such an important moment right now. I talk to so many people still that believe if you're a good person, you're going to heaven. You have to know that's not in the Bible. Like, if I love you today, I have to plead with you that you understand that is not what the Bible. There are so many people sitting in churches across this nation today that believe, well, I'm better than my neighbor down the street. I'm not as bad as that guy. Well, at least I didn't do that. And then in the end, it's all going to work out and I'll kind of get to heaven and somehow it'll just kind of in the balances and God will bring me in. That's not what the Bible teaches. No one is good enough. Everyone has sinned. I mean, this just in, I've sinned, and sin is a huge problem. And this just in too, you also have sinned. You don't believe that? Ask someone who's known you for a few minutes, right? We're not perfect. And so why is sin such a big deal? Sin is such a big deal because the Bible says that the wages of sin, what's a wage you earn? The wages of sin is death. It's death. See, that's the problem. So if I asked you today, hey, what's your single greatest problem in life? Like, what is the single greatest problem you face right now? And some of you would want to say, oh, my finances is really tough right now, or my future, my career, I'm not sure what's going to happen, or the sickness that I'm encountering physically, or my children. No. That is not your greatest problem. My greatest problem and your greatest problem, infinitely more than that, any of those things, is sin. Because in the Garden of Eden, God and Adam and Eve were like this. Sin enters in, and now they're separated. God in perfection, Adam and Eve
and sinfulness. God cannot coexist with sin, and the chasm of death is in the middle. And people say, well, I'm going to be a good person and try to reach God. You're never going to make the jump, bro, because this demands perfection. I think one of the best illustrations, again, I have to be as clear as I possibly can. There's so many people who believe what is false. One of the best illustrations that you are not saved by works is the cross itself. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he was in between two criminals, two murderers, two thieves on either side of him. Both thieves, the Gospels tell us, again, throughout the story of Good Friday, both thieves were mocking Jesus Christ. At some point, they hung there for hours, right? At some point, the one thief, the burglar, the murderer, the criminal, at some point, something happened in his heart. He was watching, he was listening. He heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He was watching the reaction of this innocent man beside him. And the other thief on the other side, Jesus, began mocking Jesus again. And all of a sudden, this other thief, criminal, murderer came to the defense of Jesus. Can't you see he is innocent? We deserve to die today, paraphrasing right now, right? But he has done nothing wrong. And he says to Jesus, amazing moment, he says, Jesus, would you remember me again when you enter into your kingdom? And Jesus in the middle turns to this thief, criminal, murderer, and says, today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. Not tomorrow, next week. Today, you will be. What's happening right now? The murderer beside Jesus is all of a sudden, God's working his heart, and he has faith. He has faith. He says one sentence to Jesus Christ of faith, that he is the Son of God, that he is the one who holds again the kingdom of God. And that's all that was needed for Jesus, again, to gain entrance, for him to gain entrance into heaven and glory forever. It's an incredible moment. Listen. He never went to a church service. He never said a prayer beyond what we know, as far as we understand. He didn't have any Bible verses memorized whatsoever. He never went to a Bible study. He never walked old ladies across the street. He didn't attend Christmas and Easter services at all. He didn't do any of that. And yet Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. What does that tell us? We are not saved by works. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation because we'll never be able to do enough. We are saved by grace, gift. Grace is a gift through faith. Faith. If you are here today and you believe that you are saved by what you do, that is not true. You will never do enough. I will never do enough. Again, I preach this way to you right now, and I say these things as clear as I can because I love you, because I need you to know the truth, that you will understand the only one who can save you is Jesus Christ, and the only one who can pay for your sins is the one who died on the cross and shed his blood, that the payment was received in full, and when he is raised from the dead, now the invitation to everlasting life is to you, and all you have to do now is believe. And when you truly believe, then your life is changed, and now the fruit comes from your life in the form of wonderful works for Lord Jesus Christ. But don't believe for a second it's works that saves. No. It's faith that saves. And genuine faith in Jesus Christ leads to a life changed and fruit for him. This is the mind-blowing love of God. The love of God that reaches us today where we are. We also learn this about the resurrection. It guarantees eternity and glory. It guarantees eternity and glory. So for all those who are truly saved in Christ, we live in the hope of our heavenly reign. And one day, oh yes, Lord, yes. One day we will have perfect resurrected bodies. Somebody say amen, that's gonna be such a good day. Yeah, this is not a perfect resurrected body right now. This is a weak, suffering, injuries all the time body. And we all see that all around us. But one day soon, we belong to Jesus Christ. We will reign with him forever because when Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, he is the first fruits. First fruits is a farming term, a sample of the spoils that are to come, sample of the harvest to come. Beautiful, awesome. One of the things we love to say around here at Hope Oakville too is I'm Canadian, I'm thankful for Canada, but the reality is in Jesus Christ, I'm not actually Canadian. The reality is I'm heavenese. You're like, Robbie, that's cute. Yeah, it's not just cute, it's biblically true. The Bible says, Philippians 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, okay? So if that's true, if my citizenship is in heaven, then that makes me
Have an ease, yes, yes, like truly. So at the end of the day, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are living this life, we are walking around, thankful for Canada, want Canada to be blessed, all stuff. End of the day, not Canadian, end of the day, man, my reality is heaven. New heavens, new earth with Jesus Christ forever. Does that change how you live? Just a little bit. By that, I mean a lot. You are now living not for the world. You're not in despair when your money goes down and you're not, again, all depressed when things don't work out because you are living for the world to come, the power of Easter. The power of the resurrection, the glory of knowing Jesus Christ. And some of you might now be thinking, bro, like you get pretty excited up there. I said, yeah, but if I believe what I'm saying is true, shouldn't you be excited? Like, isn't this kind of a big deal? Like, if I believe that truly my citizenship is in heaven and glory awaits me and this is why I live and I just, Jesus Christ fills my heart and life and my love for him, it just can't be contained. And the reality, again, life is hard, but Jesus Christ will return one day soon and there I'll see him face to face and everything I've ever wanted and to live for is seen in him. Yeah, you better believe I'm excited. It's the very purpose of my existence and it can be yours too. This is what Jesus Christ is doing in our midst right now. I believe it. I believe he's working right now. I believe he's saving lives right now. Right now. By the way, when you die, what's your plan? When you die right now, what's your plan? Roll the dice? That's a dumb plan. I think that's a dumb plan. I'm not rolling any dice, man. I know exactly what's happening. And I know exactly, again, who is going to save me in the end, who saved me today. What happened on that resurrection Sunday? Doubt and despair, devastatingly shaken, faith and hope resurrected. Thirdly, finally, briefly, awe, joy, and purpose are eternally secured. Look at verse 8 now. Verse 8. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran. Yeah, I'm sure they did. To tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." That's amazing. Exclamation mark. Greetings. And they came up, listen, and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. You see what's guaranteed for the true believer in Jesus? Awe, joy, purpose. When you truly meet Jesus Christ, awe, a love for him, an overwhelming joy that your sins are forgiven, and the very purpose and reason for your existence. When you truly know Christ, you know why you exist, and you experience, again, meaning in life. I'm so not okay with saying that my life has no meaning or purpose. I'm so not okay. That is 100% depressing to me. To know Jesus Christ, listen, I know why I live, I know for who I live, I know how to live, and I know where I'm going. And the question is, do you? Talked to a young girl at the end of high school, just last service. She says, "I've been coming for a couple of months and today something changed. Today Jesus Christ saved my life." She couldn't stop crying. And I'm like, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the best day of your entire life. Today is the day where Jesus Christ has set you free. That's why our church is here. That's why our church exists. More people to be transformed in the reality and the power and the glory of Jesus. Verse 9, you see verse 9 there. Likely, this is the 11 disciples now. They run up and they see Jesus. Oh, what a moment that is. And they take hold of his feet and they worship him. Hey, hear this. The moment they take hold of Jesus, they've just grabbed onto and taken hold. They have just eternally secured joy, eternal hope, eternal love, and eternal life. The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the closer you are to all those things. They take hold of him. They take hold of that, which is absolutely life eternal. That was the purpose, again, a reason for their existence. They would never be the same again. So, that first Resurrection Sunday was the most important day in the history of the world. And maybe today for you, through faith in Jesus Christ, could be the most important day in the history of your life. Of your life. Man, we've been asking the Lord, again, only God can save. Only God can save. But we pray so much that God is speaking to you and encouraging you so greatly this day. Why? Because he loves you so much. He loves you so much. He desires to forgive you. He desires to bless you. But it takes faith to bow to him, to confess him as Lord and Savior. Let's just pray right now. Father, thank you so much for your word. I believe so much everything that's being said. Obviously, I believe you are working. I believe you are good. I believe you are awesome. I believe, Jesus, that you came to live a perfect life, to die for our sins. I believe you rose from the dead. And I believe, Lord, you're coming back again. And I pray others would join me in that belief and they would be saved forever.
God, I pray so much. I pray so much that today is not just a day where all the music was nice and that was great. And I pray today is truly a day of salvation. Please, please, Lord, would you do what only you can do? Help us to sing now, even with faith, to sing now with joy, to respond with such gratitude to you for this awesome, awesome story, truth, that you died, but you were raised from the dead. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together as we respond.